Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Roker Report podcast in association with the Southern Community Soup Kitchen. It's Gav and you join us after... I'm struggling to get my words out because I don't want to say it. Sunderland drew 1-1 with Accrington, unfortunately. Managed to throw away a 1-0 lead against 10 men. And I'm a little bit sick. And I guess my two mates joining me today are as well. Ant Waterson is with me. How are you doing, Ant?
Mate, you sound pretty much like how I'm feeling. Just really, really deflated, I think. It's just as well like how avoidable it was. So that's the most irritating, I think, is the word. For us today.
Yeah, we've picked a good time to record this one, and I'm also joined by Bomber, who looks pretty chipper, actually.
Oh, I don't feel it, mate. I feel just as sick as you do, to be fair. I think, as I was just saying, I've just realised that the last time I was on a post-match was a 1-1 draw with Shrewsbury when the opposition were down to 10 men, so I'm a bit of a bad omen, I think, for these.
Yeah, well, there we go. You're not allowed on after today.
Yeah.
So let's get into it. Then let's talk about the game. So Sunderland, like I said, were 1-0 up pretty soon after the second half started. And then Sykes gets sent off for two yellow cards for Accrington. You're thinking, champion, brilliant. And then Sunderland do a Sunderland. We have a corner. The goalkeeper catches it. He launches it forward. And Tom Flanagan does a Tom Flanagan. Totally airshots the ball. They get in behind and they score against the run of play. And we have nothing left to offer after that, and we draw 1-1. Oh, just why can't we take advantage of these situations? Why can't we, when you look at the other results and Rotherham have lost, why can't we just take advantage? That's three games now where we've played and other teams around us haven't, and we've not been able to get the result we need. Like, why? What? It's so frustrating, isn't it? And I don't want to get too... I'm not going to be too negative today because you do have to take a breath and you do have to realise, look, we've got quite a lot of games left to play in the season and, you know, the season hasn't just ended. I mean, Rotherham, like I say, they sat third. Everyone thought they were going to run away with this a month ago. It shows how much football there is left to play. But still, you've just scratched your head at it, don't you? Like, why can't we just get these results in the bag and done?
Yeah. It's... From what really is kind of irritating me today is we haven't learned our lessons from the last week. I mean, like, obviously, the Wickham game, you know, we've gone 3-2 up in additional time and managed to concede. Even the Lincoln game on Tuesday night, I know we were awful in the first half, but we go down to 10 men, we're 2-0 down, we score a goal and we're on top, and then Linda Gooch decides to be, you know, I don't know, a complete nutter air shot, and then exactly the same today. But what I couldn't understand about their goal was, why have we got that many players in their box? Like, just you know, they're down to 10 men. Just game manage it. You know, leave a couple more back. Don't leave Tom Flanagan, the last man. And we know what Tom Flanagan's like. We've seen Tom Flanagan for the last 3.5 years, you know. But, I mean, he kind of had his old Hall of Fame of errors today. One of them was going to cost him, you know. Today he was awful. But what I'm worried about the most is we're seeing the likes of Wigan, who seem to pick up points very late on in games. You know, we seem to do exactly the opposite and concede very late on, and it's quite a worrying trend, I think, and we need to address it, you know, very much quickly. You know, I mean, Portsmouth now next week is absolutely massive, isn't it? And that's not an easy game.
No, yeah, we'll come on to the what we need to address in the transfer window a bit later, but you're right, yeah. It's quite clear that what we need now, and I think these results have put a little bit more pressure on the club to get those over the line. Bomber, I'll come to you then, the game today. It was a funny one because first half, it was pretty even. Like, don't think you could have really complained about going into the break 0-0. I think both teams were pretty poor, really, in front of goal. We had that one chance where Gooch put a great ball in, Ross Stewart heads it into the ground. Their goalkeeper makes a brilliant save. Don't really think Aaron did too much. They did win most of the second balls, and I was worried at some point something was going to drop in the box and they were going to score, but they didn't. And then we come out second half. Pritchard goes off at half time. I don't know whether it was tactical or injury. I know he was playing with an injury midweek, so it could have been that. O'Brien comes on, to his credit, played quite well. Takes a pot shot from distance. It loops off their defender over the goalkeeper and into the back of the net. You're thinking champion. And then with 6 minutes to go, we do what we did. Mind-boggling, isn't it?
It is. And the worrying thing for me, like there'll be people who will watch that today and they'll be spouting, oh, we're shit, blah, blah, blah. We need to do this, that and the other. But the fact is that we're not shit. We're not a terrible football team. But the one, if I could describe us in one word, it would be fragile. Because unless we're 2-0 up in the first 20 minutes of a game and we end up winning 3 or 4, like a Sheffield Wednesday, for example, we always look cagey. We always look like we're not getting out of second gear and we always look vulnerable. And the last three games have just proven that. In none of those three games, we particularly started very well. In none of those games, you know, we were a couple of goals up. And lo and behold, we've come away, 2 points out of a possible 9? As for the game itself, you're right, Gav. I mean, the first half, you know, it was even, but that's not saying anything really particularly positive about either teams. No, both teams were pretty poor. It was even, but it was evenly crap, really. and then like you say, second half was marginally better. Like you, I can only assume that the Pritchard thing was an injury. He has played quite a bit of football recently for us, but again, I think it kind of highlights that unless Dan Neil and Pritchard are firing and in form, we generally struggle. That seems to be a running theme because I didn't think Dan Neil was anywhere near what he has been for us recently. And same with Pritchard. Aidan O'Brien got the goal, came on. Like you say, did quite well if we're judging Aidan O'Brien by his own standards. But yeah, even when they had that player sent off, I had that feeling that, you know, this isn't comfortable. We look fragile. We just look like we just reverted back to getting rid of the ball, making mistakes and being as leaky as, you know, as we have been probably going back a few seasons now, where, you know, we were getting one all draws under Jack Ross and always conceding. We kind of regressed back to that sort of defending, and it is worrying, especially when you see, like you said, Wigan are picking up points in the last 5 minutes of games and we're losing points. You know, I dread to think if you put up a league table of this season, the amount of points won and lost in the last 5-10 minutes of games, I dread to think where we'd be, really. So yeah, I guess long story short is must do better if we've got aspirations of going up.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you look at the league table now, they've got 5 games in hand on us and they're only 3 points behind. I mean, I'm not, like I say, it's far too early to say what's going to happen. We have lots of games left to play. They have a lot more than we do, obviously. But we've got to try and just draw a line. I know it sounds daft this last week. We've just got to draw a line under it, and we've got to try and move forward. Ant just said we've got a really tough game next week. But we've got to look further at some of those individual performances and really think about where we go from here. Like I say, Flanagan for me, I said this earlier, and that I think he's probably had his best season in a Sunderland shirt. Generally speaking, he has. He's been far better. But that's still not good enough. Like, the last sort of run of games have proven that we do need a defender. And you look at the bench and we've got Arbenet Jumadjali sat there, who we paid money for. All right, he's had a really bad injury. They've took the time with him. But if he's not ready to go into the team, then what's the point? We need to sign somebody or we need to play him.
Do you know what it is, Gav? It seems odd because I think our defenders look good when they're on the ball. But when off the ball is when we look shaky. And, you know, ultimately they're there. The three centre backs are there to defend. Now I think Doyle and Bailey Wright actually were pretty decent today.
Yeah.
And I think again Flanagan on the ball wasn't bad, but his primary function is there to defend, and it's his mistake that effectively has let them in and cost us the goal. And you could argue he had a hand in the one last week as well, in the Lincoln game as well, where he's missed the clearance. So it's those things that they'll get remembered for, because that's his primary function.
Yeah. And just on the defending, then, we've really struggled for, like I said, the last three games. What do you think that Johnson should do? Because, like I say, his options at the minute are bringing Jumadgley. Don't see it happening for some reason. He just seems to have really took his time with him.
Mm-hmm.
Or we go out and sign somebody, and the difficulty is, who do you sign? Who's out there? Who's going to be ready to get straight into the team and play? And it seems like we're probably stuck with what we've got. But I mean, what does he do?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure what the rumour is about Aidan Flint, if it's a strong rumour or anything like that. But he's the type of defender I would love to get, because he's, you know, he's big, tall, he's a commanding presence, he's a leader as well at the back, and he can also pop up and get a couple of goals as well. I think he scored 7 last season or something, and he's a centre-half, so it's a really good return, that. I think that'll probably automatically make him our second highest goal scorer, you know what I mean? But someone like that, I mean, we just need... I can remember when Bolton came to the Stadium of Light, and I think it was Santos, wasn't it, the centre-half, big lad for them. He's the only one I've seen who's dominated Ross Stewart this season. You know, Ross Stewart had a really hard time, so there are defenders out there, I think, who... But we just need somebody. I'm all well and good for having, you know, the likes of Callum Doyle, who is an excellent ball playing defender. And I agree with Bomber. I thought Doyle was excellent today. He kind of bailed Flanagan out 2 or 3 times. But we need someone who's just a bit nasty, you know, someone who's going to bully strikers, where we haven't got anyone like that at the minute. You know, Doyle might be that kind of player in a few years' time, but at the minute, he's only learning, isn't he? And he's learning his training. He's probably learned a hell of a lot this season. But yeah, we need someone who's big, strong, a bully, and a leader. If they exist in January, please get them. I'm not sure
they're going to cost twice as much, aren't they? And yeah. I think that's the thing. And I think a lot of people are crying out that we look like physically quite weak, like all over the pitch, really. And that's the thing. I think you need your traditional big, strong defender who just isn't going to, because, you know, Bailey Wright is physical, Tom Flanagan's physical, but they're not big, strong, tough defenders who aren't going to get, you know, who can hold up an Akinfenwa or someone like that. You know, they're happy to get stuck in, but they're just not strong enough, not physical enough. And that's what we're missing, it looks like.
It's the same with Doyle as well, to be fair. All three of them are pretty similar in that regard. I mean, he's a young lad, but the problem is, like, right across that defence, we're sort of banking on them being able to defend, and it's costing us points now. And I just don't want that to be the difference between us finishing top two and finishing in the playoffs. Because you know what happens when Sunderland finish in the playoffs? It's just, it can't happen. We have to finish top two. So what we have to do is find a way of either defending better, which, like I say, could be bringing in Jumadgley, who could be a star for all we know. We just haven't seen the lad play. Or we go out and sign someone. And like I say, I'm a bit torn on whether that even happens. But sort of looking around the pitch the rest of the game, Dennis Sirkin playing left back today wasn't his best game, was it, Bomber? Really? I think he struggled, to be honest, both offensively and defensively.
He did.
We know he can do a lot better, but at the same time, every time we play these big physical teams, it's not just him. Quite a lot of the players struggle with the physical nature of the game, but today I just think he got bullied a little bit. I can't remember the name of the wide player who he was up against. I feel like it was Sullivan. But he struggled today, didn't he?
He did, yeah. It wasn't one of his best games. I know he's not played an awful lot for us, but he kind of did look a little bit out of his depth. I know we were asking him to go in at left back, and I say he's not got a lot of minutes under his belt for us this season. But yeah, he did look a little bit out of his depth. He did put in that fantastic last ditch tackle in the first half, towards the end of the first half. But that was because he kind of needed to do that, because he was the one who switched off for the quick throw that got him in the first place. But yeah, he just didn't look comfortable either on the ball or defending. He just didn't look comfortable. He misplaced quite a few passes. I can't really remember anything much of note that he got involved with. to be fair, down both sides was where Accrington looked like they were going to hurt us, and that's what ultimately happened. You know, that long ball came down that left-hand side, or their left-hand side, and Flanagan's come across and missed it. But yeah, on that one side, Sirkin, it wasn't a great day for him.
No, but I'll not be too downhearted on it. I mean, it's difficult when we talk straight after the game to try and pull positives from anything. Like I said before, I think just when we play these physical teams, we do struggle. Pompey next week, are they a physical team? Probably, yeah, I would say so. Marquess gave us the runaround earlier in the season, so we have to learn from games like the Accrington game. I mean, it's easy saying that. You can't teach the players to be more physical overnight. You can't teach them to be more aggressive. I just think it's part and parcel of the way we play, Ant, is that we are going to... When we're playing on a little pitch where the team restrict us, and to Accrington's credit, they did quite a good job of that up until the point that O'Brien scored that goal, which was a bit of a freak goal, really. I thought they did a good job of just closing the space down, making sure we didn't have time on the ball. So that's the way teams approach us. It's just part and parcel of the way we are. People, when they do their research on Sunderland, they must look at us and go, yeah, good team on the ball, but if you stop them playing, you know, you might nick something. We've got to find a way now going forward. Of when we go away from home, haven't we, against teams like Accrington, we've got to find a way of just playing through that and importantly, taking our chances, because we normally don't struggle, do we, with chances, but we did today.
No, yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. We have got to find a way. You know, we're going to go to more grounds like Accrington's ground this season. You know, we're going to go to smaller pitches, and we're going to go to teams that want to bully us, because they've known now. All you need to do is get out, if you've got a data guy at the club, just have a look at some of our away games when we have been bullied and we have struggled because we haven't got the necessary strength to. I've just made a word up there, necessity. We haven't got the strength to cope with that. I mean, we're an excellent footballing side, don't get us wrong, when we're allowed to play football and we can dictate. But I think Lee Johnson said it, didn't he, a few weeks ago, you've got to earn the right to play football. And this last week or so, especially Tuesday and today, we haven't earned that right yet. And that's the problem. We need to start getting dirty. We need to start maybe outlawing ourselves to other teams' levels and, you know, getting a bit, you know, naughty and dirty and all that. But again, that's probably summed us up in Le Grand Gav. We haven't been able to do that. We pride ourselves on being a good footballing side, and we are. But when it comes down to the nitty gritty, where we need to be a little bit shithousery, you know, and especially last 10 minutes of games where, you know, you take a knock or something and just roll around for a little bit. We've seen this happen. We've seen loads of time where it's not the stadium, like when we've been, you know, 1-0 down with you know, 5-10 minutes to go or whatever. And we need to just maybe learn from our mistakes a little bit better like that. And I just don't know. I'm really at a loss. Like, I can understand what we're saying. I'm trying not to get too negative, but I'm at a loss of how we've managed to throw that away today, especially being in such a comfortable position.
It's almost like we feel like we're too good to kind of lower ourselves to that, isn't it? Like, you know, we're the big club in the division. You know, we're going to do things the right way, but, you know, at the end of the day, we've been here, what is it, for however many years now. We just need to do whatever it takes to get out of the division. And if that means, you know, being a bit of a, having a bit of a like small shithouse club mentality for a few games and for half a season, then so be it. But we don't seem to be able to do it when we do try. So there's games where we have, you know, tried to shithouse teams a little bit and kick them off the park a little bit. And it's actually ended up backfiring in our face. It just seems at the moment that when we get a little bit edgy and a bit of adversity, we just implode in ourselves. So if you think back to the Pompey game at Fratton Park is a similar example. The Lincoln game is a similar example. We get dragged into it because it's not something that we do. We end up imploding and it kind of derails the game.
Yeah, it's a bit naive, isn't it? You know, like, as much as, and I don't want to keep on going on about, well, should we have played these two games gone? It's kind of like, Look, we took a big chance for that, especially with the Lincoln game getting beaten and all that. We took a big chance of playing these games, and it has backfired a little bit. But I think sometimes we're so sure that we're a little bit naive in kind of expecting us. I mean, I think the players there today, when they went down to 10 men, I think the players just switched off, mentally switched off, which it is easy to do, you know, but they need someone telling them. And that's maybe a problem where we haven't really got a leader on the pitch. where we need someone to say, look, this game's won in the 94th minute or whatever when the referee blows his final whistle, not when a play, when a team's gone down to 10 men and you're 1-0 up. You know, because that's not the first time that's happened this season, is it? Like Bomber said, it happened to Shrewsbury where we were 1-0 up, seemingly cruising, they were down to 10 men and we bite ourselves in the arse again.
Yeah, we've seen these sort of moments of complacency this season, even that sort of mini spell where we struggled for results and in the end of October, start of November. A lot of the chatter on social media after the game appears to be around, is this another streak coming? I mean, we don't know, Bomber, but how do we guard against that? How do we guard against this becoming another streak? Like, what do we do next week against Pompey to ensure that we get back on track? Because we can't allow... This is a problem that's sort of followed Johnson around his career, that he gets his reputation from being a streaky manager. And it's now up to him this week to ensure that this ain't another streak. We don't go on another 4-5 game run where we struggle to pick up points. I know we didn't get beat against Accrington, but we did. It feels like a defeat.
It does, yeah.
So what does he do? What does he do?
I don't know. Cause it's a strange one. Like, the only thing I can think of is that we go on these streaks and they seem to have turning points. So I think we'll go on like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 games unbeaten. And then we start to believe that we're unbeatable and probably we get a little bit ahead of ourselves. And then all of a sudden we drop points at Wickham, we drop points at Lincoln, we drop points at Accrington. And then, it, like I say, we kind of implode on ourselves and then we kind of get down and feel a bit sorry for ourselves. And we're, you know, in these streaks in the past, we've gone 3, 4, 5 games without a win. And then it's almost as if someone just like lights a rocket under their asses and says, do you know what? If you don't pull yourselves out of this, we're not going to get promoted. And then they suddenly realise what's at stake. And go, oh shit, okay, yeah, we better start playing again. And then we start kind of getting back up to another peak and going on a bit of a roll, and then confidence gets high and then we get complacent and then we go back down that slope. It's a strange one. I think Johnson, what he's got to do, he's got to sit everybody down and just be perfectly frank with them and in no uncertain terms, just let them know what's at stake. Because there's not only places in squads, there's contracts, there's the ability to play in the Championship or whether you're going to be resigned to League One football again. He needs to like make it clear in no uncertain terms that we cannot afford to do this. You know, if we go another 3 games and only picking up 2 points, you can forget about automatic promotion. To be honest, it's got to that sort of stage, and I think we will do better than that, but he needs to make it clear to every single one of those players that's in the squad that they're going to have a part to play in this, and that if we do go on a bit of a run, unless we start ticking those points and getting back to those, 2 points per game average, it's not going to happen. And some people will be out of contract and will have to find themselves another League One club or below. And some people will lose the opportunity to stay with us and play Championship football. So he just needs to be firm and perfectly frank. I think that's the only way he can do it, because I can't really put a finger as to why it happens in the first place. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah. I think that's it. You've got to be honest. He'll come out and they'll say, you know, wasn't good enough. We need to learn from it. And that's perfectly fine. But yeah, we've got the players have got to be honest with themselves when things are going well and you're riding high, nothing goes wrong. You don't, you know, those little flicks seem to go in your favour. The second ball seem to go in your favour. Those crosses into the box go in your favour. You know, and then when you hit the hard times, as perhaps this little mini run is, you have to work hard to address those issues. Like, you can't just sit there and think, well, it's just going to get better again. We have to be very honest. And I guess as fans, we've seen this enough times while we've been in League One to know what's coming if they aren't honest about it and they don't address it.
Throwing over that win today, Gav, was the worst thing that could have happened, because all it does is just stoke the fires on social media for that streak again. You know, if we'd have come away with I don't care how bad the win would have been, if we'd have come away with a 1-0 win, we wouldn't, you know, this conversation wouldn't be happening. But the fact is we haven't, and all it does is just fuel that fire. And for my own mental health, we bloody win the next game, because otherwise...
That's an interesting point you make about how we would have been reflecting on the game had we won it, because I was sat sort of while I was watching the game thinking about what we were going to talk about when we sat down, and I was actually really happy with how we reacted after the break. I thought that to come out after half-time and score a goal early on, all right, there was a touch of fortune as the way it went in, but we were better. And then after that goal, we zipped it around more. We had sort of 10, 15 minutes where Accrington couldn't get in the game. We had all of the ball, and you could see just in the players, they just lifted. The confidence was there. And I said, in our little group chat, I said, if we don't take advantage of this spell that we've got, then we could be made to pay for it. You've got to, when you've got the momentum in the game, you've got to take that, and you've got to do something with it, and you've got to get that second goal and that third goal. Yeah. And we didn't do enough. I mean, I think it was Frankie and Danny on the commentary said, we had their keeper really had a save to make in the second half, really. I don't think we made them work anywhere near enough, and that's with some really good attacking players on the pitch. So it's just difficult to take, isn't it? And you've got to, like I say, we've got to reflect on the game fairly. If we hadn't have conceded that goal, I would probably have been sat here and I would have been saying, great win, when you consider that Accrington were pretty competitive. Physically, they were good. They worked hard. You know, we've basically nicked it. But we're not. We sat here and we're bemoaning the fact that we couldn't defend in that one moment. I think they really only had one chance, and it was that. We sat here and we're bemoaning it, and it's just frustrating, isn't it?
Yeah, and again, we're going back to our time in League One. How many times have we been sat here saying these things? You know, it's happening time and time again. It's happening season after season after season, where we're getting into a position where, you know, I think before the Wickham game last week, after we beat Sheffield 5-0, I think you're thinking, yeah, this team's not gonna stop now. You know, we thought we'd really turn that corner. I mean, I will see in defence of Johnson, I don't want to be, you know, be this happy clapper kind of thing, but it's not Lee Johnson's fault that Tom Flanagan's forgot he has legs. You know what I mean? That's not down to Lee Johnson. You know that's an individual player making an error. You know, personally, today I thought Lee Johnson handled the game very well. You know, we made that change at half time. You know, Pritchard was struggling. He brings O'Brien on, and O'Brien scores, and it was O'Brien's type of game. You know, it's this, you know, horses for courses kind of thing with that. But it does seem that we are making those same mistakes time and time again, and that's what I'm worried about. You know, I mean, listen, you know, Accrington, yeah, they had one chance in the first half when Hoffman's made a good save, but bar that, they didn't threaten us that much. And, you know, they've scored a goal, they've took the chances, and we seemingly can't seem to do that. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, which players we've got, which manager we've got, it's the same mistakes are getting made again in League One. And, you know, listen, we're going to have to start winning games and start winning them quickly, because otherwise it's going to be the playoffs. Simple as, because, you know, Wigan keep on picking these points up. We've been saying all week, I mean, Wigan aren't going to be able to keep this up because they're playing so-and-so games. What happens if they do? You know, there's nothing stopping them. So
The fact is, they only need 4 points from those 5 games in hand to go above us anyway.
Yeah, so yeah, exactly.
It's not like
yeah.
they need to win every single one, so the pressure's off them a little bit still.
I think Rotherham losing takes the edge off it slightly, because had they won, I would have felt a lot worse about it. Rotherham losing means that they, you know, they're still in there with us. And I think it's difficult to try and sit here and be positive. We've got to try and move on, obviously, but the other results elsewhere, like you said, Wigan winning puts them in a very favourable position, regardless how many games they've got to play. Wickham won, let's not forget that. I think if I'm right, Wickham have gone top of the table, so they're certainly not going anywhere, are they? But there's a lot of time left to play. Before we move on, though, I want to just touch on what maybe Johnson could have done, Bomber, in the game to change things when it went to ones each, because we conceded that goal with 6 minutes of normal time left on the clock, and we didn't make a change, and it felt like we were a little bit dead out on our feet. And could he have maybe brought on Diamond Hume, perhaps, to try and just give us some extra edge?
Yeah, I think the one thing that, well, the one trick that Lee Johnson probably possibly missed was introducing Jack Diamond. You know, I think from the Lincoln game, you could see he still is really quite raw, but his energy and his enthusiasm in that last 10 minutes or so, playing against 10 men, playing against a team that have kind of sat back and just tried to contain us, he could have produced that one little spark. You know, Embleton looked like he was fading a little bit. We looked like we were running out of ideas, and as the time ticked over to kind of 80, 81, 82 minutes, it just looked like we weren't going to get over the line unless it was a spark of individual brilliance or a mistake that gifted us the goal. And Jack Diamond is a player that can do that. So, yeah, I think he did miss a trick there. Denver Hume, you know, whilst he's good going forward, you know, since he's come back into the fold, he hasn't been great. So I'm not too fussed about him not necessarily coming on. But Diamond was definitely one that I think should have at least had a little run out and rolled the dice.
My only reasoning for sort of the Denver Hume comment was that Sirkin played so poor. I thought maybe bring somebody else on. There was a moment towards the end of the game where the ball went out to the right hand side of the pitch, and I think it might have been Diaku, and the ball, it goes over the top, and I think if somebody's got fresh legs in that position, they control it and they get a shot away. And Diaco was just too tired. He stretched at it, couldn't bring the ball down. It just bounced off him and went out for a goal kick. I mean, it could have, would have, should. Johnson wasn't to know that. But I just thought maybe with 84 gone and it's ones each and they've got 10 men, just roll the dice, throw them on, put Diamond on, put you on, maybe even put Josh Hawks on and just try with some fresh legs on the pitch to grab that goal. I mean, and Hawks, to be fair to him, last season when he was playing the 23s, he scored quite a lot of goals from range, good goals. And I'm just thinking, you know, I know ideally long term he isn't really an option for Sunderland, but it would have been nice to just take that chance and bring some extra players on, wouldn't
it? Yeah, I think that's the thing, that we didn't take that chance. It's all hypothetical, but Johnson would have seen that people were getting tired. And, you know, what have you got to lose, really? So,
what about you, Ant?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. You know, I don't know if it comes down to trust, you know what I mean, with, like, you know, Diamond and Hawks being, you know, these lone players they've brought back. But listen, hey, you know, we all know what Diamond can do. You know, yeah, he is very much, you know, not the finished product at all. But I would imagine if Kimpioka was on the bench today, Kimpioka might have come on. So if you can trust Kimpioka to come on, why not trust, you know, someone like Jack Diamond? And as you say, Gav, Josh Hawks has scored quite a lot of goals last year from the 23s that were very good efforts, and I think he scored quite a lot of late goals as well. From what I can remember, he was popping up, you know, the last 5 minutes because he's got that little bit of pace that he's got. But on the Denver Hume thing, I thought Hume on Tuesday was excellent when he came on, to be honest. Thought he played really well, considering we were, you know, the game was pretty much over. Thought he did, like, really good with his bombing forward, and that's probably what we needed, maybe to go all out attack. But I don't know, maybe Johnson was just that much, maybe he was just that much pissed off that we've conceded a really late goal. He hasn't thought about it, and it's not been a proactive thing to do.
Yeah, so let's just summarise on the game then. For me, really disappointed that we only managed to get a point. I think as the days roll on, we've got a week now to prepare for Portsmouth, and we'll preview that game on the pod and on the site as the week rolls on. I think as the days dwindle away, we'll probably calm down a little bit collectively. We'll probably look a little bit more objectively at it and think, okay, we have to really learn our lesson. We have to try and strengthen the core of that side going into the game. What do you reckon, Bomber? Overall impressions then, sort of as we sign off the performance against Accrington?
It's just a disappointment, mate. It's difficult. As we sit here, we're what, an hour after the final whistle, and it is the disappointment because it should have been 3 points. It should have been a scrappy 3 points that we're talking about, but it's not. I, like you, I think I'll get to midweek next week and I'll have forgotten about it and be looking forward to the Portsmouth game. But it just makes that Portsmouth game all the more important, doesn't it? Especially with the other fixtures that are going to go on. Just looking at them now, Rotherham are playing Cheltenham.
Really?
Yeah, so you'd expect them to come away with something there at home.
Mm-hmm.
Wigan against Gillingham, you'd expect him to pick something up there. So it just puts the pressure on that Portsmouth game all the more. But like I say, middle of the week, I'll start be looking forward to it again.
And?
I think the day's just created, I think the whole week actually just created pressure that really shouldn't have been there. You know, big chance, which hasn't been taken in the last week, where had we maybe got 6 points out of nine, we'd have been sitting pretty, but 2 points out of nine, it's just made next week a huge, huge game, which is already going to be massive with, you know, Portsmouth thinking it's a rivalry coming up here. But it's going to be a... And the bother is, you know what you know what it's like to stay in the light sometimes when it gets to maybe 15, 20 minutes and we aren't winning, the crowd can very, very quickly turn. And I just hope we get an early goal. I hope we get some players in, actually, because I think some of these players are looking tired. You know, I think Bomber mentioned it earlier about Elliot Embleton. I think Elliot is looking tired now. Yeah. Dan Neil, bless him, has played the majority of this season. He's 20-year-old. It's his first, you know, first proper season. We need to get some bodies in, you know, whoever they are. I know, you know, we're linked with, you know, I think we're linked with a new player every day, aren't we? But it needs to start happening now, I think. You know, these lads have done really, really well the last month or so because we have been at the bare bones, but now they're starting to look very, very tired.
Yeah, that segues us nicely into the next segment and before we sign off, the transfer window. But I think that makes a good point, Bomber. We probably do need now, with what, like the time dwindling as we're into the second part of the month, we need to now get players through the door. I know it's not that easy. It's not just as easy as snapping your fingers and bringing players in. But it's very clear, and it has been clear for even when we were in a good spell of form, it was clear what we needed. For me, the priorities are a right-sided centre-half to replace Flanagan, somebody who's big, physical, and importantly, just heads the ball. I don't care if they're 33-year-old and we're not going to get much more than a season out of them. We need an experienced, championship-standard defender to come in who can actually defend, because we cannot allow this defence to keep costing us games and points. So that is the priority, number one.
Yeah.
Number two is, we need a central midfield player who is physical, big, again, a bit like the centre-half, somebody who likes to win the ball, likes to win headers, and just sets the rest of the team away, and we can anchor the team from the midfield with that player, because you've just said it yourself, and Dan Neil's a very good player, Embleton's a very good player, but they're not holding midfielders, they're creative players, and we need to surround them with just... I mean, to be fair, if Corey Evans could stay fit, he would be fine. And I think that's maybe where that position, if Evans comes back from concussion and plays next weekend, which he should, providing he doesn't get injured in training, which is always a possibility with him. If Corey Evans can come back in, then we're all right. But we still need to sign someone because he is going to break down again at some point. And then up front, we need support for Stewart. He hasn't got, while Broadhead sitting on the injury bench, He hasn't got that backup, and with one injury away from catastrophe, because Ross Stewart gets injured and you're then talking about putting Aidan O'Brien up front. So we need a striker. Would you say we need anything different to that, Bomber? Would you agree with my selections?
No, I'd agree with you, mate. We need to strengthen our spine, essentially. All positions through the middle of the park need strengthening. Not necessarily in quality, but certainly in depth. And I think that's the key thing. I think
and variety, think by the way, and variety. We have to look at the options we've got. They're all very nice players, but we need a bit of aggression in that team, don't we?
Yeah, you're right. So if you look at our set, you take Corey Evans out of the equation, you look at our centre midfield, it is all players who like to get on the ball, play it around a little bit. You know, your Dan Neils, your Pritchards, etc. I don't think we lack creativity. So it is just that steel that I think we're missing. And like you say, it that goes through the spine of the team. So For me, just to echo what you're saying, it's a centre half who's a proper experienced head it, kick it centre half. Give him an 18-month contract, you know, because the likelihood is that anybody who's worth their salt isn't probably going to just accept something for the end till the end of the season. Similar in midfield, but who can play a little bit, but again is almost like I'm not suggesting we're going to sign someone of that calibre, but like a Kante, just to kind of sit there, run around, break up play, beef it.
I'm just imagining Kante and Lee.
Can you imagine? Yeah, but you know what I mean. Somebody who's not expected to do anything except win the ball, be in the right place at the right time, win the ball back, win us possession, and then give it to the creative players to go and do something with it. And like you say, we need someone to support Ross Stewart, because like you say, if he goes, then Jesus, we're in a lot of trouble.
Anyone else, Ant? I know we've been linked with Patrick Roberts. That one's went a bit quiet, but. Do we need another wide player? I guess if Hawks and Diamond do go back to the loan clubs, leaves us short, doesn't it?
Yeah, I would. That's the only thing I would add to all that. Another wide man, because for me, I don't think Gooch gets in my team if fully strength. So I would like to see another way come in. I think that, you know, I was really excited when we got linked with Patrick Roberts, because I think he's got the potential of being a fantastic player. So if that's gone quiet for whatever reason it has, we probably need another one of them in. And, you know, the main one is, like you said, centre-half, centre midfield. We need a shithouse in the middle of midfield. You know, that's what we need.
We need a shithouse in both positions, don't we?
Yeah. And up front, I mean, the link has been Jermaine Defoe, hasn't it? And that, I mean, yeah, we'll talk about that if and when it happens, you know what I mean?
The problem is, Ant, with the Defoe link, is there'll be a queue of teams around the block who want him. So yeah. I think when Lee Johnson answered that question in the press the other day, he was right. I think a million things would have to fall into place for it to happen.
100%, yeah.
But it would be nice, wouldn't it?
It would be wonderful if he did come back, but all the same, if we sign, and I can't remember the name of that lad from Villa who was linked, and he looks a decent player.
We're going to get shown up for not knowing his name, but I did watch highlights of his goals that he scored this season. Young lad.
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah. Just someone with legs, someone who's got goals in them. Importantly, like I said, we need options around the pitch, and I don't think for one minute that they don't know this. Like that's the thing. I've seen, again, shouldn't take too much of what's said on social media seriously, but I have seen some people sort of doubting our ability to get what we need, and I don't think come the end of this month we'll be left short anyway. I think we'll have what we need, and I do think Speakman and Johnson and Stuart Harvey and anybody else who's involved in that process, I'm pretty sure they know they're very aware of what Sunderland need come the end of the window. But we just have to, it's difficult, we have to be patient. I just think that this little run of results has certainly ramped up the pressure on them to bring those players in. And that might not be a bad thing, actually, because you can get complacent even in the transfer market, you know. They can sit on their hands a little bit and think, well, we can probably afford, especially when results are going well, we can probably afford to wait till the end of the month and see what other deals come up. Or they might have 6 or 7 players for each position that they're looking at. They might look at it and go, well, he's probably going to become available towards the end of the month, blah, blah, blah. Now the scope's changed, you know, next weekend. All right, we're probably going to have Winchester and Evans back in the squad for that game, which will be a big lift and it'll help the midfield. But defensively, we're not helping ourselves. So Johnson either has to go out and Speakman has to go out and buy a centre-half, somebody who's been playing, which isn't easy. I know I saw the link with Aidan Flint. He'd be perfect, but how likely is that really? He's playing for Cardiff most weeks. But someone like that, a big experienced player, someone who Johnson knows quite well because he's worked with him before, who's playing, so the fit, to come in and really ramp up the competition in that defence and improve us. And
give John O'Shea a ring, see what he's up to.
Yeah, why not? Get John O'Shea back. But I think that's about all for today, lads. So thank you very much for joining us. We will hopefully be back before the weekend, before the Portsmouth game, hopefully with a preview show. There'll be plenty coming up on the website on rotoreport.com. All that's left to say is thanks for listening. Thanks, lads, for joining us. Really appreciate your time. And signing off with a lovely little salute there. And thanks for joining us, everybody.
Cheers.
Bye.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.